The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Got an idea for a topic? Email us at newsmakers at KRLA870.com. That's newsmakers at KRLA870.com. Sunday morning newsmakers with Larry Marino, AM 870, The Answer.
Jim Ellis of EllisInsight.com joining us right now to talk about all things political. Jim, thanks so much for being with us again.
Larry, thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Let's walk through some of the stories of the past week or so. We saw that Biden and the Democrats hauled in $85 million for May. They beat the president and Republicans on that fundraising. Reaction?
No surprise, because you know Biden's fundraising actually lagged behind quite a bit, Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren and almost every other Democrat. So I think a lot of that's catch-up money now that he is the nominee or the nominee designate. It doesn't become official until the convention. And, you know, it was, Trump has way more money in the bank than him, but I don't think either way this thing is going to be decided based upon who's got what money because of all of the attention that the media pays to the presidential race. I've always thought the money in a presidential race is less important than almost any other.
Okay. Got two different schools. You've got the media that doesn't talk about the rallies that are on the streets, the protests, and the COVID-19 factor. But the second the president does a rally with supporters, all the stories are about, ooh, the president potentially exposing people to COVID-19.
Oh, yes. Well, is anybody surprised that would be the coverage? Yes, the protesters, COVID is exempt from that. I guess it doesn't affect anybody protesting, but you knew that would be the case.
Yeah.
In terms of how they cover things.
So yeah. You and I have talked about it. It's the people in the middle. It's those undecided. How is all this stuff playing to the independents?
I really think it's too early to tell. At these polls all the time. I would discount any polling right now because things are in such upheaval. We need to have a little bit more of a normalization of what's happening in society before we get a good handle. But again, never pay attention in the presidential race to the national polls because, again, that's the popular vote. It's always going to be slanted to the Democrats because you're always going to have an oversample of the people in the metro areas. Well, the places we really have to watch when it gets closer are the states where things are going to be decided. The presidential race is going to be decided. And for Trump, it's Arizona, Texas, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina. I think those are the five most critical states for him because he has to win them all, just like he did last time. And if he does win them all, and right now Arizona is the most problematic of those five, then the Great Lakes region, which the media pays the most attention to, and it is important, becomes much easier for Trump because then he only has to take one of those states in the Great Lakes. He took them all last time, and by those I mean Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin. If anyone going his way would reelect them, as long as he keeps that base in the South, Arizona, Texas, Georgia, Florida, North Carolina, in his column. And those are the states that, you know, North Carolina and Florida always swing, and the others are, you know, generally solid Republican states that are moving closer to the political center. By that, I mean Arizona, Georgia. I think Texas is going to be fine for him. But those are the states we really have to monitor. And that's where the election is going to be decided.
So it's not going to be the John Bolton book.
I think not.
It's funny. I've been watching a few stories on that. He's not liked by either side. Democrats don't like him because he wouldn't testify in the hearing, and then he comes out with his book and decides to get a $2 million advance for it. Republicans don't like him because they say, hey, they were in the room, and they didn't even want him around. He was not a guy they wanted to have in the room because he twisted things around.
To me, it was a surprising appointment when it was first made because he had that reputation for a long time, and that's why he had trouble getting those jobs he so desperately wanted to get.
And then what is this where you take a job and then you go do a slam piece afterward. I mean, is there not like some document you would sign when you go to work for that saying, look, you know, what happens here stays here unless it's some, you know, HR thing?
Well, you would think so. But as you know, Larry, it seems today that these contracts don't seem to mean much. The law doesn't seem to mean much. It seems like whatever people want to do and can try to get away with. And a lot of times they do.
Yeah.
And I think we've gotten away so far from the rule of law, and it's going to get worse if the Democrats win this election. I think that's the explanation for it. Yes, I'm sure he did sign that, but I'm sure he's ignoring it, and nobody will do anything.
Yeah. Well, speaking of Democrats and the different stories that are happening in the news, how do the protests in some of these Democrat left-held cities where, you know, things have gotten lawless, Seattle, where they've in the process of trying to take that back over, that section that was now CHOP or whatever it was called before,
yes.
Chaz, that stuff doesn't seem to like play well with middle America, does it?
I certainly wouldn't think that plays very well with these independent voters in these places. And maybe we're starting to see that some change. You know, Michigan, for example, has been has not gone well for Trump so far in the polling. He's been down double digits. In fact, before, from like June 1st to the 10th, he was down double digits in five different polls. But the last two polls have him down one and have him down two. So that could be a response to what you are talking about, because at the time those polls were taken from June 16th to the present, there seems to be a switch back towards him. Two pollsters, one of them is Change Research, who is a very liberal pollster, and they had Trump only down 2 points in Michigan, and the other is the Trafalgar Group, the only pollster in 2016 that correctly predicted Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania.
Mm. So how does the COVID-19 debate of opening things up versus, oh, it's too soon, play in politics? Because I think in the business community, you get a lot of people who said, you know, you almost killed us with 2 months being closed like that, and now we're back open.
Sure.
But yet you get some of the purists, and of course, many of the media types like to harangue this, well, was it too soon thing, you know. Who wins on that? I hate to take a health issue and make it a winning issue, but politics is politics, right?
It's a good question. It's a good question. The polling indicates it seems that people still are wary about opening things up. But, you know, you walk around, and I'm in the area here in Virginia, Northern Virginia, Washington, D.C. area. We're going to be the last to fully open up. And we're way behind everybody else. But you walk around outside now, and people are roaming around without masks. They're starting to go back to restaurants. The businesses are open again. And you know, you have to get a reservation to basically go into Best Buy, for example. But there seems to be some ignoring of a lot of this, even here. And if it's happening here, then I would think the rest of the country is moving forward. I think at the end of the day, it is going to help Trump, but we'll see. But we'll also see if they, you know, I think we're going to see talk of a second wave of this come, and it'll be right around the election. You watch.
Of course.
They try to do another shutdown. I'm not so sure that's going to work next time, but we'll see.
Yeah. Well, anything else to watch? Let's see. Biden in the basement. He's got to come out of there, doesn't he?
He's got to come out of there at some point. And right now, I mean, he's not really, I mean, the media is never going to attack him. Trump is starting, and I think this rally in Tulsa, even though it didn't go, I think, as well as anybody had hoped for his side. And of course, the media is saying it's a disaster. I think it was far from that. But I think certainly you can't say it was a home run for Trump. But he's the only one beginning to try to draw Biden out, and he's got to do that, and he is.
Well, look at any Biden event that's ever been held doesn't draw more than a couple people. I mean,
right.
They don't.
Right.
And
he's definitely not going to do events. So the question I've got on Biden is, you know, are they going to try to get him out of the debates? And I'm sure the media will help if they think they want. If the campaign wants to get him out of it. But that in and of itself is going to be interesting. I think if not only is there going to be, what are the parameters for the debates, but will there be debates, and will Biden try to get out of it? And if he does, I think that opens another door for Trump. So that, I think that that's a game within the game here in this campaign as to how these debates are going to be handled.
Yeah, we saw one story on the wire this week that one school in Michigan not going to do it. It's going to go to Orlando or into Florida instead. You got some jockeying around. You've got the Republican convention out of one state down into Florida instead. So there's some things moving around, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, and I you know, the Democrats moved their convention. I mean, they stayed in Milwaukee, but they moved it to late August now from originally would have been July 13th. We would have been just about ready to start here in a month. But so we'll see if they go virtual on that. And there was talk about at least part of that's going to be virtual, or are they going to be entirely virtual? So there's a lot of things still to unfold and decide before we, in the next 132 days, I believe it is, till Election Day. So we're going to see a lot of action in that time.
So do people who live in the circles where they only watch CNN and MSNBC, are they not aware of Biden's faltering presentation? Are they shielded from that, you think?
Oh, I think those viewers are so anti-Trump, they really don't care. And they're going to vote for anybody against Trump. And, you know, there's no question he has a hard negative that will never go for him. So, and it's pretty much that constituency that you just mentioned. So, I don't think it bothers them at all. And again, you know, actually, and you know, the argument that Trump is going to beginning to use is that Biden's not capable of handling the job, so he's going to bring in all these extra people to run it for
him. He'll be really running it, and who knows who those people are and where they're taking the country, right?
But you're the MSNBC, CNN crowd that you just mentioned probably think that's good. Because he is clearly moving to the left in the people he's associating with. And so you're going to get these deep state types coming out of the bureaucracy and the hard left, the Elizabeth Warren, Bernie Sanders, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez left to take these positions, which that group that you mentioned, the CNN and MSNBC audience, will like.
They'll like it. Interesting. A lot to happen. Things are moving fast. The stories are changing. Last thing up, 30 seconds, pulling down the statues. That helps Trump, doesn't it?
I would think so. I would think so. And my question is, when are they going to attempt to or suggest that the Democratic Party should change its name? The party of that instituted slavery, that blocked civil rights, that instituted Jim Crow laws, all of that came from the Democrats. Bob Byrd, who was in the KKK, was their leader for years. When are they going to change the name of the Democratic Party?
Let's leave it there. We'll talk again. Jim Ellis, ellisinsight.com. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Larry.
Sunday Morning Newsmakers with Larry Marino.